Then turn with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're working our way through this book. And I want to just speak fairly briefly tonight on one subject, and the subject is pleasing God. In particular, I want to talk about how it is that we please God. And so I'm not going to do the normal exegesis and exposition of every word and every verse in our text tonight. I just want to zero in on one thing, and then, Lord willing, next week we'll kind of back up and take a bigger picture view of what's going on here. But just the subject tonight, pleasing God. Namely, the subject, how is it that we please God? I don't know if you zeroed in on what we said this morning, but it was very profound and very important, and that is that God is not looking for our vows, God's not looking for our promises, God's not looking for our worth, He's looking for our absolute, desperate trust. And as we said this morning, a trust that is fueled by desperation, that recognizes that He's our all, that He's everything. That's the kind of trust that God's seeking for in His children. He's not coming and saying, "What can you do for me?" Right? He's coming. It's not the offering of sacrifice that glorifies God. In fact, I know we'll just look with me at Psalm chapter 50, just for one moment. It's not the offering of sacrifice that pleases God. I love this in Psalm chapter 50. Here is the psalmist in Psalm chapter 50, and he is presenting God as the judge and the bailiff in the courtroom. And the judge enters the courtroom, and all of humanity is the subject. All of humanity is standing before him, getting judged, and what God is judging, and we'll be looking at this in Sunday school beginning next week and the coming weeks, He is judging man's worship. God is the judge, and He is judging our worship. And He says, He comes in and He speaks and He summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Everybody in the world, our God comes, He doesn't keep silent. Before Him is a devouring fire. He calls, verse 4, to the heavens above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. And then He goes down and He says, listen, verse 8, not for sacrifices do I rebuke you. So when I say that what pleases God is not the sacrifices, I'm not saying that that's not what He's after, but He says, not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. But He says, look, I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. Why? Because it's all mine anyway. If I were hungry, He says in verse 12, I wouldn't tell you. What do you want me to do, God? Here's what I want you to do, verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me. This is what honors God, calling upon me in the day of trouble. In other words, what I want from you is not what you can give me, but what I can do for you. When you're in trouble, you call on me. That's what honors God. That's what God's after. And so what Peter is doing back here in 1 Peter chapter 2 is he's developing a whole thought here. But he zeroes in on something in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 that I think is very important. I'll begin reading in verse 4. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Now, if we stop there, there'd be lots of problems, because what you would hear is exactly what we just read. God is building you up as a spiritual house, as a spiritual temple. He's making you His priests, and what He wants you to do is he wants you to offer all kinds of sacrifices to God. So God's after your sacrifice. That's all we would hear, right? God wants you to give your spiritual service to him. Give up your spiritual service to him. And that's all we'd hear. But the question would be this. How do we do that in such a way that pleases God? Because we are all radically sinful people to the core. And the question is, how can a radically sinful person offer anything to a radically holy God such that he is radically pleased? And the answer is, we can't. Right? What are you going to give God with your stinking, dirty hands? What are you going to give God with your stinking, dirty heart and mind? What are you going to give God? He is eminently holy and righteous. How can we please God? And so what we do often is our Christianity migrates into this cult-like religion wherein we're going on a ceremonial walk, continually offering sacrifices to a God that we don't know, that we don't really love, and we're not really sure exactly who he is anyway. You know, I'll never forget when I was in Los Angeles, California. In fact, I was over at Master's, Grace Church, just down the road from Grace. Is that a Buddhist temple or something like that? And I remember going by there and smelling this awful smell of sour and rotten fruit. And I found out that what it was is all of these sacrifices being given there. And you know what that happened? It just stank. And so many of us, that's what our service to God is like. Like Dan said, you know what? We come to church on a Sunday night, and it's like we check out, well, that's a 15,000th service in a row I made. Look at that. I got my 50-year pin. I came to Sunday school. I got all of the decorations. But it doesn't please God. But what he says, what Peter's saying, is, yeah, you know what God's doing? When you come to him, and that word come in and of itself is an amazing word. It's the word that speaks of coming prostrate before God. Coming to him humbly. It's a word when it's used in this fashion that speaks of worship. Coming worshipfully to him. As one who the world looks down upon, as one whom the world has rejected, you come to Christ. And you know what he's doing? He's building you. He's making you a spiritual house, or, to change metaphors, a spiritual priesthood with this purpose. Your purpose in life, Peter says, is to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God that are acceptable to him. How do we do that? How in the world do we offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, as he said here, that are acceptable to God right there at the end of verse 5? That word, acceptable, it means, it's something that the picture is very vivid, something that's presented before him and it's good. And he says, I like that. I really am pleased with that. Good. How do we get to that point where the sacrifices, the service that we offer to God, he says, good, or well done, very good. Your Christian life hangs on a prepositional phrase. My Christian life, your Christian life, hangs on a preposition. Because if we didn't have that preposition, we would all be about religion and ceremony. We would all be like, I keep getting this picture in my mind, you know, of these natives taking fruits and vegetables and goats and things like that up on the mountain to a volcano and dumping it into the volcano to please the gods, and we never know if he's pleased or not. That's what our Christianity would be like if we didn't have this preposition. Acceptable to God. Look what he says. Through Jesus Christ. The only one who pleases God is Jesus. And if we come absent of Jesus, we don't please God. He's making you his own priesthood. You're a priest. You're a temple of spiritual sacrifice to God, but the only way that you please God, the only way that it's acceptable to him, is to come through Jesus. So at the moment that we come and we're offering our service through me, have you ever done that before? Offering your service to God through yourself? This is all in my strength. This is on my merit. This is on my ability. It's of nothing. You offer it through Christ. The question is, what does it mean to offer spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ? What does it mean to offer spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ? I want to suggest a few things tonight, and that will set us up then for coming to the Lord's table through Jesus Christ. One, it means because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. That simple preposition, the Greek preposition, dia, through or because of, or maybe we say another way, on the basis of Jesus. So let me just make it very simple. Tomorrow morning you get up and you go to read the Bible. It's not the reading of the Bible that pleases God. It's the reading of the Bible because of Jesus that pleases God. Cross-centered Bible reading pleases God. Empty, grave-centered Bible reading pleases God. An ascended Jesus Bible reading pleases God. A returning Jesus Bible reading pleases God. I'm reading because of him. It's all because of him. Because way back in Genesis 1, God spoke and it was because of Christ. Right? On the basis of Christ, I offer these sacrifices. Is that what your spiritual sacrifice is? Is that why you sang tonight? Great is your faithfulness. See, this, you can tell where we're going to go next week on this whole series of worship. See, we get it all wrong, don't we? We start talking about, I like contemporary worship. I like traditional worship. I want the drums. I want the organ. I want the tambourine. I want the bongos. I want this. Stop it! Through Jesus, man! Through Jesus! Because of him! Not because of what you like! Right? First, you please God because of Jesus. So this is the battle of life. The battle of life, the battle of Christianity is to do everything we do, to think everything we think because of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How different would your life be today if everything was done because of Jesus? If you say, you know what? My life would be a lot different, I think. Then you've not been living to the pleasure of God. You've been living to the pleasure of self. And it's okay to admit that tonight. It's okay to say, I've been living for my own pleasure. I can see that my thoughts are going to be different and my actions are going to be different because it's through, because of, on the basis of Jesus. All right? Number two suggestion that I'd like to give you, when he says to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, not on the basis of Jesus, on the basis of his work, on the basis of who he is. But secondly, on the merit or in the merit of Jesus. It's kind of, these aren't necessarily distinct and separate. These are kind of building on one another. It means to do so in the merit of Jesus. In other words, I'm not giving God anything that he didn't first give to me through Jesus Christ. I'm doing this in his merit. When Christ taught us to pray, he taught us to pray what? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And what's awful is that we've turned that into a formula or an incantation. We were in Uganda, and I really labored with the brothers there saying, you know, what's happened there in particular, not just in the African continent, but what's really taken off in the African continent is this idea that we have some sort of incantation, that these magical words in Jesus' name sort of get something extra for you. And then they've made it really good, and so they no longer say in Jesus' name, but they say in the name of Jesus. Jesus, right? Because it sounds much more. And so we think it's just those words that provide something. No, when we say in the name of Jesus, we're saying, I'm asking you this in the merit of Jesus Christ. In other words, because of his work and because of his what he has won for me, what he deserves. Listen, you deserve nothing. That's why it was so important this morning that you heard that Jacob was, when he thought of Esau, Jacob was coming face to face with his past failures. And if you'll notice, as we keep going on through that study, it's not what Jacob did in the past that's going to determine what God does with him in the future. Because it's not about Jacob earning anything. He didn't earn. He didn't earn the favor of God, and neither did you. You don't know how to please God? You offer. You come to church tonight on the basis of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Is that why you're here? You come to Jesus. You come to the church tonight because of the merit of Jesus. I'm here not earning anything. And that just sets you free, doesn't it? It sets you free not to... Now listen, it doesn't set you free to say, no, I can make my own decision whether or not I'm going to come to church or whether I'm just going to stay home because I'm tired or whatever. We're not even going there. This sets you free to do everything you do on the merit of Jesus. So you're not earning any points tonight. And it just makes a lot of glad people. I'm happy tonight. I'm not here putting points in heaven. Listen, my account in heaven is already full. It's overflowing. Is yours? Is it? You have all... Is your account in heaven overflowing or not? If it's not, if it's lacking anything, you're not saved. It's all in Jesus. To offer spiritual sacrifices that God says, oh, I love that. That's really good, is to do it because of Jesus. So, giving your offering, write out $10,000. That's not what pleases God, right? Write out your offering tonight and you put in $1.50. That's not what pleases God. What pleases God is $10,000 because of Jesus and because of his merit. Or here's $1.50 because of Jesus and because of his merit. God goes, oh, that's good. I really love that. That is really good. So to do it on the basis of Jesus, offer a spiritual sacrifice because of Jesus, on the basis of Jesus, in the merit of Jesus. And let me give you one final suggestion to please God. To offer spiritual sacrifices, what we'll say is in the authority of Jesus. What do you mean in the authority or with the authority of Jesus? That is, to offer your spiritual sacrifices, to bring your service, your life to God, without wondering, I don't know if this is going to be accepted or not. I'm doing it in the authority of Jesus Christ. And whatever is done in His name. That's what Jesus said. Whatever you ask in my name, that my Father will do. I'm offering this with His authority, not mine, because God, you know, if I get any of my own hands on this, it just is putrid. But I'm offering this in His authority, in His name, because of Him. Your entire Christian experience depends on a preposition. So tonight, we're going to come to the table. Through Jesus Christ. Because of Him. On the basis of Him. On His merit. With His authority. You're coming as a son, as a daughter of the King in His authority. That's how you come. So, you practice open communion. You don't have to be a member of the church to join us, but we ask that you, well, God says you have to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so as you come tonight, you're coming with this authority like, yes, I get this opportunity to partake together in the bread and the cup because of Jesus, not because I'm good. If there's you come without doubt tonight. You come without, oh, I don't know. You come tonight in full assurance. You know what the writer of Hebrews said? Full assurance you come tonight in Christ. So you drinking tonight doesn't please God. You eating the wafer tonight doesn't please God. You eating the wafer through Jesus Christ, oh, that is so pleasing to God. Okay? You drinking this cup tonight through Jesus? God is smiling. You coming tonight and singing the song that John's going to lead us in a moment in the merit of Jesus? God says, I can't hardly take it. This is great. On His authority, not tiptoeing around, but boldly, confidently approaching the throne. That's what pleases God. That's the spiritual sacrifice that pleases God. So the question is your life pleasing to God? Are you pleasing Him? You can't say, my life is pleasing to God. And if you, of course, you say it this way, if you say, yeah, my life is pleasing to God, because... And you say the next word is anything but Jesus, you are an idol worshiper and a blasphemer. You say, oh yeah, I know my life is pleasing to God because blasphemer, you might as well be stoned with rocks. You might as well get stoned with rocks. Anything other than I'm pleasing to God because Jesus, there it is. Because Jesus paid it all to Him I owe, right? The question is, are you a blasphemer? Are you an idol worshiper? Or are you offering to God spiritual sacrifices through Jesus? If there are any idol worshipers here tonight, I invite you to repent and receive and take communion tonight. Or if you will not repent, then know that the grace of God has passed you by. If you're an idol worshiper tonight, if you're a blasphemer tonight, and you say, oh, and you can come and you can say, I want to repent. Oh, God will so gladly receive you because that repentance is offered through Christ. We're going to sing, and as we sing, I want you to consider these things. Where you stand with Him, is your life pleasing to Him? If so, then I want to invite you the table of the Lord tonight. Would you stand together, and Brother John's going to lead us.